When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome into Poke the Bear, episode 224, presented by CLNS Media and sponsored by our good friends over here at Prize Picks and Factor Meals. My name is Connor Ryan, and as you can see, we're riding solo today, getting you guys ready for game four between the Boston Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs, set for 8 p.m. puck drop on Saturday night. And it's a hectic time of year. It's a good thing and a bad thing. It's a good thing in that we have so much to talk about, whether it's the Stanley Cup playoffs, we've got the Celtics going down, playing the Heat. We've got Messi down in Foxborough, which I'm sure, God help anyone driving down Route 1 on Saturday night. And of course, we've got the NFL draft. People are all over the place. People are busy. It's also a Saturday. People maybe want to take the day off, so you're stuck with just me today, unfortunately. But this will be a short one, this episode 224, but will serve as a little bit of a primer, I think, just getting you Bruins fans ready for what could be a key game four for the Bruins on the road, especially up 2-1 in their best of seven series against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I think in terms of looking at a preview of this matchup, you know where we're going to start. So we're going to talk about pretty much every single game throughout this run for however long it goes. And it's going to come down to the goaltending. And specifically, which goalie is Jim Montgomery going to roll with in game four? Because, listen, I've been asked this quite a bit. I did a Reddit AMA on the Boston Bruins subreddit on Thursday, which was fantastic. If anyone who listens on the podcast also submitted a question or followed along there and read some of the comments, one, thank you. As always, it's appreciated. Whether you read my stuff, whether you listen to me on a podcast, whether you send me something on Reddit, on Twitter, all that good stuff, all of it is super appreciated for all you guys. But a lot of the questions, as expected, came down to what the Bruins are going to do in net for game four. And I think it comes down to two things. What do I think the Bruins are going to do? And what are the Bruins going to, like, what do I want the Bruins to do, right? So what do I think the Bruins are going to do? I think kind of Jim Montgomery kind of tipped his hand before the regular season ended, where he was like, we rotate through the first four games and then it's performance based. He mentioned that I think it was the second or the third last game of the regular season. I think that's probably what the Bruins approach is going into game four, where I think they're going to go back to Ullmark. And I get the rationale behind it. One, in terms of, all right, Linus Ullmark, I think most people agree, wasn't the reason why the Bruins lost game two. I think he played at a really high level, made some key saves that made what was a 3-2 final. Could have been a whole lot more lopsided for the Maple Leafs in that game if it wasn't for Ullmark. Again, results matter at the end of the day. Weren't able to get the win, so that's kind of what you have to stare at. But Ullmark was not the reason why they lost that game. And the Bruins' net front coverage, their transition game was so poor that even if Swayman wasn't net for game two, I really don't think it would have mattered all that much. So I can see the Bruins' perspective in terms of keeping the goalie rotation in place. And going to game four, it's like if you win with Ullmark in game four, one, you have the plan still in place with the goalie rotation. You've got Ullmark with a win. He's probably feeling good about his game. Not to say that I think he's probably feeling crappy about losing game two, because I think he played at a really high level there. But you get momentum on his side. You got both your goalies feeling good about your game. And if you win game four, you come back to Boston for game five on Tuesday. You got Jeremy Swayman, who's been fantastic all series long, as your potential closer, you know, pretty much in that game. So I can see the Bruins' rationale there in terms of sticking with the game plan, turning to, again, like, Swayman's been the better goalie, but it's not to say that Ullmark has been a liability. Like, you've got the two best goalies in this series, both on your team, which is a good problem to have. So I could see that being the case for the Bruins in terms of giving Ullmark another go. And if you lose, then, I mean, you still have Swayman to turn to in game five, who's super rested, obviously. as the guy that can maybe flip the momentum back in your favor if you go back to Boston tied 2-2 in this matchup. That being said, I mean, I just think you look at just how good Swayman has been in this series, and I'm all for like the goalie rotation. And like, listen, if you survive in advance and you get to the next round, you know I'm getting ahead of myself, but if you're playing a team like the Florida Panthers, reset the clock, do the same game plan again where you alternate goalies. If one of them catches fire, you adjust on the fly there. But it's all about getting past this first round. When you look at who's been playing better so far in this series, especially against this opponent, Jeremy Swayman gives you the best chance to punch your ticket to the next round, which is the main priority. You don't want to lose focus of where you are right now and what the next step is when you get to Stanley Cup playoffs. And right now, like, it's a special situation, I think, which is how locked in and how dialed in Jeremy Swayman is right now against this Maple Leafs team. And I mean, he's been fantastic just in this series alone. Through two games, he's got a 7.8 goals saved above expected. So guys saved almost 8 goals beyond what the Maple Leafs are generating. They're generating a whole lot of net front chances, a whole lot of, opportunities at the low slot, really making things difficult for Jeremy Swayman. And he stood tall and he's been immense. I think the number two goalie in terms of goals saved above expected is Logan Thompson on the Golden Knights. And his goals saved above expected is 2.4. So Swayman has been immense in terms of just how good he's been so far in this series so far. So I think you look at it, right? I mean, the fact that the what gives the Bruins the best chance in terms of going on a run here and just getting you past this Maple Leafs team, I think it's got to be Swayman in game four. And again, like, you go to Swayman in game four and you win and he's still money once again, you revisit the same situation, but then all of a sudden you're up 3-1. You can, if you wanted to, you can try to sweep the leg with Jeremy Swayman again in game five, three straight stats. That might be asking a little bit, but all of a sudden, if you're up 3-1, maybe then you have an opportunity to turn to Ullmark to kind of seal the deal. And all of a sudden, if he's up to the task, and again, he's been really good pretty much since the trade deadline, and you're able to win game five with Ullmark getting the start there, then you go into the next round. Both your goalies feeling good about your game, and you punch your ticket to the next round. Like, again, you map out all these different scenarios. And again, it can all fall to the wayside. Like, Swayman could run out of gas. Ullmark could start game four and lose, and also momentum's not really on your side going into a pivotal 2-2 series. But I don't know. I just think you look at just how good Swayman has been, specifically against this team. If you want to go back to the entire regular season, he's 5-0-0 against Toronto. And Jim Montgomery kind of mentioned it on Thursday, right, that with, like, Max Domi bumping into Swayman, like, Montgomery mentioned that maybe, like, Swayman's in their head, that they're trying to knock him off his game. And at that point, right, like, we look at the postseason and the playoffs and all the factors that play into it, and we look at the physicality and the physical toll that comes with the playoffs and how much even just like an aggressive forecheck will wear a player down from game one to game seven. But like, there's also the mental toll of it, right? And the mental edge of, like, if you're the Maple Leafs, who are an elite team offensively, especially at 5-on-5 play, and you've generated a whole lot of good chances. It's not like they've been playing to the perimeter, or, like, again, they're 1-for-11 on the power play, but, like, it's not like they're kind of like what the Bruins were when they had that really bad slump going into the playoffs where, like, they couldn't even break the puck out. They couldn't even get through the neutral zone. They've been generating good chances, but if you've got a guy like Swayman who keeps on denying you time and time again, you look at game four, and yes, you've got maybe some momentum if you're the Maple Leafs. You maybe have William Nylander back. You're back in your own building again. You can, you know, it's a clean slate. You can go and try to even up this series going back to Boston. And then you look across the other side of the ice, and it's still Jeremy Swayman again, the guy that's owned you all season long. Like, it's a bit of a mental edge there, or a mental toll if you're the Maple Leafs, in terms of what you're going up against in that game four. So, listen, again, what do I want the Bruins to do is very, very different from what I think the Bruins will do. I think the Bruins are going to turn to Ullmark and keep the rotation going, knowing that they have the insurance of turning to Swayman in game five if need be. But if I'm the Bruins and you look at just what the circumstances are against this team with how good Swayman has been, I think you get a roll with Swayman in game four, and then you reassess from there. If you win, it is a fantastic problem to have. If you go back to Boston 3-1, you steal two games in Toronto, and then do you pick Swayman again and really deviate from the goalie rotation, or do you go with the reigning Vezina Trophy winner who's got a 3-1 series edge, is playing at a high level, and get him rolling to close that series out? So that'd be a good problem to have if you're the Bruins, but we'll kind of see what the next steps are. But if I had to guess, I'm going to say the Bruins are going to opt for Ullmark in game four. So that's my prediction. We'll see. I'll probably be wrong when it's warm-ups show out at 7:30 on Saturday night. But before we dive into a little bit more of this game, let's take another quick break here. Listen to our good friends over at Prize Picks. Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a whole new level during basketball and hockey's postseason. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball and hockey entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball and hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. You can pick LeBron, Connor McDavid, and Jude Bellingham, all in the same entry. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in place even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, Prize Picks will have your back and not count that as a loss. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and a huge selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. And with the Celtics season in full swing, there's plenty of opportunities to participate in Prize Picks. This week on Prize Picks, I'm selecting Jason Tatum for more than 30 points, Kristaps Porzingis for more than 2 blocks. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match of up to $100. Again, use code CLNS for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. And now let's get back to the show. Once again, shout out to our good friends over at Prize Picks. All right, looking a little bit further ahead at this game four matchup, beyond just the goaltending, comes down to the lineups and whatever personnel decisions the Bruins might make going into game four. I think you look at from Toronto's side of things, it does seem like the writing is on the wall that William Nylander is going to be back in the lineup for game four for them. And that's going to be a game changer for Toronto in terms of the luxury you have of having a guy that, you know, scored 98 points to be on your third line. And I mentioned this, I think, on Poke the Bear with Evan earlier this week. The third line's been pretty solid for Toronto already with guys like Kampf and what have you. Like they've done a lot of damage, or they've at least had productive shifts. Changes when you have a guy like Nylander who can finish a lot of plays if he's getting set up, especially in grade A ice. So I think for the Bruins, the biggest strategy is going to be just how you deal with balancing your lines and especially your defensive pairings going into this matchup, because there's no easy way to do it. And I think you look at the way the Bruins set up in terms of their practice on Friday, not a whole lot of changes. I know Danton Heinen didn't practice on Friday. Montgomery mentioned it was just maintenance, so you imagine he's back in the lineup, but really weren't any changes at all in terms of their forwards up front of how they were handling things. I imagine JVR is going to be back in the lineup and see if he can build some momentum. Justin Brazeau and Derek Forbort both skated on Friday. Montgomery mentioned that, again, Brazeau, though he's skating, which is a good sign, probably not a realistic option unless the Bruins advance to the second round, which would be a huge plus for them. Beyond the fact of obviously advancing is getting a guy like him back in your bottom six. But Forbort is getting closer, but Montgomery doesn't think he's quite ready yet for game four. So I think the bigger question is what you look at the decor for game four, especially if you have to account for a guy like Nylander. And you look at practice on Friday, the same group we pretty much saw in game three, which again, maybe you don't mess with what you had when you win game three, but it's Lauri McAvoy, Lindholm Carlo, Weatherspoon, Shattenkirk, and then the extras were Forbort and Matt Grizzlick, who was obviously scratched from game three. And I don't know. I feel like if you're the Bruins, and this is just my, you know, my pick, I would still slot in Grizzlick and take out Shattenkirk. And again, like, I know there's Matt Grizzlick is a very divisive player, and I think he didn't really have a great game two, lost a couple of board battles. But I think when you look at what the Bruins are looking to do from their decor in terms of breaking the puck out, making the short, simple pass to get the puck moving down the other end of the ice, especially at 5-on-5 play, I think Grizzlick offers a little bit more than what a guy like Shattenkirk provides. I mean, Shattenkirk, didn't really have good net front coverage on Nye's goal in game three. you look at the fact that the power play has been really effective, but it's been kind of the other unit for the Bruins. They're 5-for-10, but it's a lot of that group of Marchand, DeBrusk, Coyle that's generated a lot of those chances so far. And when the power play is not reliant on a guy like Shattenkirk to lift them up, he's not factoring in too much into these games, at least for right now. I mean, he only had 10:05 of ice time in game three. So if you're able to, you know, incorporate Grzelcyk into the lineup, whether it's you put him on the third pair in more of a reduced role with a guy like Parker Weatherspoon, or you put him up with McAvoy, which you know what that duo can do, and you put Mason Lauri down with Parker Weatherspoon, you kind of balance things out that way. Or even they get super creative, the Bruins do, and it's, you know, you find a way to have one of McAvoy, Carlo, and Lindholm all on separate pairs, just so you have a kind of a foundational piece on each D pair to kind of lift you up there. Because with Toronto, with Sheldon Keefe and that team having last change, and the fact that they can send out, if healthy, the Matthews line, or Marner and Tavares, or William Nylander on his own line, you got to really have to balance out these D pairs and have a kind of a bedrock foundational guy there. And like, again, Parker Weatherspoon is more of a stay-at-home guy, but I don't know if he's a guy that, whether it's Weatherspoon and Lauri, or Weatherspoon and Grzelcyk, or Weatherspoon and Shattenkirk, as was the case on Friday, I just don't, you know, I don't see it being a situation where you can just have him be kind of that bedrock defender. So maybe it is something where, again, we've seen countless times already Jim Montgomery has changed things around. We thought we were going to get a McAvoy Lindholm super pairing to start, and you look at all the practices before the playoffs, and then all of a sudden they go back to the usual Carlo Lindholm from most of this series. So we'll see if those things change going into this matchup. But I think that's the biggest key, is who draws into the lineup on the defense. I don't really see that there being that many changes up front for the Bruins going into game four. But before we wrap up this podcast, let's take another quick break here from our good friends over at Factor Meals.
I want to tell you about our friends over at Factor Meals. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages, to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. And we're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So head to factormeals.com/Bruins50 and use code Bruins50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code Bruins50 at factormeals.com/Bruins50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Now, back to the show.
Once again, shout out to our good friends over at Factor Meals. All right, let's wrap up this one by looking at, I think, the biggest surprises so far. And I really, when you look at how this series has gone, I'm not really that surprised by a lot of what's played out. I think going into this matchup, we expected Toronto to be a very impressive team up front. I think you look at the fact that they've really kind of changed their approach offensively to be more of a five-on-five, forechecking team. That's, again, you look at the way they generate offense, it should be built for the playoffs, and they've kind of done that. Like, the big equalizer has been Swayman, and to a lesser extent, Ullmark so far in this series. But I think you look at the way the Bruins have found success, it's not anything that we didn't really kind of see coming, right? Like, it's special teams, which, again, maybe you're surprised the Bruins are now, you know, operating in 50% on the power play, but Toronto had a very subpar penalty kill going into the playoffs. They've really been struggling on the power play. I think they were operating at 12.5% pretty much for the last month of the regular season. Again, they've had good looks, but That is kind of carried over when you add on the fact that Swayman's really denied a lot of really good looks they've had. But I think for me, the biggest surprise so far is the lack of, you know, proven 5-on-5 scoring punch right now for this Bruins team. And again, we've said it, the Bruins have had a lot of success so far under Montgomery with being more selective with their shot selection, going maybe more for quality over quantity. But I think you have to augment and change that approach just a little bit when you look at a guy like Samsonov, who, look at game three with that Trent Frederick goal, where I think someone did like the, I think there's like an odds or a way to like factor in like the odds of a shot and the chance of it actually beating a goalie. And it was like, what, like 1.4% of that puck from that angle, that speed, what have you, beating a goaltender. Like, Samsonov has had some really good saves in this series, especially in game two, but he's a guy that's prone for at least a couple of these goals where if you're a Maple Leafs fan, you probably want to tear your hair out. And I think for the Bruins, it's all about getting more shots on that, especially at 5-on-5 play. And I believe it was Fluto Schnauzer of The Athletic who mentioned that David Pastrnak, he gets that goal in game two, obviously, but he's only had two shots on goal during 5-on-5 play. Like, I think for the Bruins, yes, like, I think it's to be expected for Toronto to really control and drive play at 5-on-5 play. They're going to generate more chances, but it shouldn't be that lopsided, especially in terms of the baseline production. When you have a guy like Samsonov in net, I think you look at how prone he is to giving up some of these chances. If you're the Bruins, again, I think you can rely on the power play to help you out here the way it's playing right now. You can rely on your goaltending, whether it's Swayman or Ullmark in game four, to keep you in these games, even when you're going to expect quite the pushback from Toronto. But at the end of the day, I just think you look at where the Bruins are and how much they can maybe make things easier for themselves. Just get pucks on net against Samsonov. You should be able to land a few more punches at 5-on-5 play and not be on the ropes time and time again away from the power play against this matchup. So we'll see how it all kind of pans out in game four. It's going to be a key matchup. Bruins, you have to imagine there's going to be a big pushback from Toronto, especially with the lift they're going to get if Nylander is indeed back in this game. But it might come down to the goaltending once again. And whether it's Swayman or Ullmark, you have the distinct advantage with whoever you turn to. It's just, in my opinion, you're better off with Swayman. The advantage is just a little bit better when you have a guy that's 5-0 against a team this season. So we will see how it plays out. This is episode 224 of Poke the Bear. Thank you guys for listening. You fans have a great rest of your week.